Hello and welcome to Praying the Psalms, a daily podcast from Doxa Church here in beautiful Madison, Wisconsin. As the church finds itself isolated physically, we are reading, studying, and praying the Psalms to join ourselves together spiritually. We want to slow down, get a bigger picture of God and a clearer picture of ourselves, and most of all, we want to join ourselves together around the throne of Jesus who's joined himself to us. We're going to be in Psalm 139 today. So as always, if you haven't read it yet on your own, go ahead and pause this podcast and read that now. Maybe highlight what sticks out to you from each paragraph and then come back here and we're going to pray through it together. Psalm 139 is a particularly intimate psalm. In a sense, all of the psalms are intimate, songs of prayer, but this one specifically is markedly personal between David and God. I think as we read this psalm and David's interactions with and confessions to God, we can take the principles he uses to pray and then pray something equally personal ourselves. As I read this psalm today, I observed kind of two overarching movements in the psalm, each broken into three stanzas. This first movement is a time of confession, confessing to God his acute awareness of David, his constant presence with David, and his intimate familiarity with David. These confessions then drive David into a movement of asking. He expresses a desire to know God's thoughts, a desire to see wickedness purged from the earth, and a desire to see wickedness purged from himself. I've pulled one verse and some thoughts from each stanza to guide us today through six short prayers. Again, please remember to make this prayer personal to you today. Right? As David prayed about how well God knew him, he had himself specifically in mind. It can feel like this psalm is maybe, you know, just a vague blanket statement for a whole congregation to confess, but that's why I'm asking you to do the extra legwork today of personalizing it to you and your walk with Christ. So let's start with the conclusion of the first stanza. I'll be quoting from the CSB today. Verse 6 says this: "This wondrous knowledge is beyond me. It is lofty. I am unable to reach it." This knowledge has totally blown David's mind, and he confesses to God that it's beyond comprehension for him. The knowledge he's referring to, of course, is God's knowledge of David's daily activity. God knows absolutely everything about David, not just what his personality is like, but every specific thing he's ever done or is about to do. I think that the closest thing that we have to this today would probably be like when your phone's location tracking is on and Google or Facebook tries giving you specific ads based on where you've been or tries to predict what you're going to type next based on what you've said. AI personalization has gotten impressive and even creepy in the past couple of years, but it pales in comparison to God. Sometimes I'm baffled by the advertisements my Hulu account thinks that I want to see or the songs that Spotify thinks that I want to hear. But God is not AI algorithm. He is above all and sees all. And here's the thing. That should be a comfort to you. An initial reading might, you know, naturally give you images of Santa Claus, right? Knowing when you're sleeping, knowing when you're awake, constantly keeping a watchful surveillance on you. You should rightly fear and revere God, don't get me wrong, but I think you should think of him less like Santa, who you need to perform for, and more like a friend whose voice is worth listening to. When someone knows you, their advice is worth heeding. So take a minute now, and in your own words, confess to God that he knows all about you, your goings on, the words you speak, and the thoughts you think, and give him glory for that. Verse 7, ask the question, where can I go to escape your spirit? David uses some beautiful language to describe how even if he goes as high as he can, all the way up to heaven itself, God will be there. And if he goes all the way down to the grave, God's still there. East or west, he can't get away from him. Not only is far close for God, but dark is light for him. That is to say, in the pitch black of night, God can see everything. And praise God that this is the case, because it means that no matter where you go, you will never be out of his arm's reach. This is the reality that the prophet Jonah forgot when he attempted to run from God, and it's something that we often forget in the valleys of life. What's more, Romans 8 says that nothing in all of creation, ourselves included, can ever separate us from the love of God. So take a minute now and confess to God, again, in your own words, that wherever you go in life, today or tomorrow, he will be right there with you. And next, if you know one verse from this psalm, it's probably this next one. Verse 14 says, I will praise you because I have been remarkably and wondrously made. Your works are wondrous, and I know this very well. This is a classic Bible verse that, you know, our familiarity with it can be really, really helpful. Or if we're not careful, it can numb us to it and cause us to lose the profoundness of it. Maybe you grew up memorizing this verse. You might remember hearing it quoted a lot as, I will praise you for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And man, it's a nice verse, right? Like, it's a cute thing to put up on the wall, maybe over like a baby's crib. But please don't let this just become some cute kid's verse in your mind. An adult man wrote this line as a theological confession to the Almighty God of the universe. Okay, do you have green eyes? Maybe you don't. Fill it in with, you know, your color of eyes. But do you have green eyes? Do you know that God picked out that color, the exact shade? How long are your legs? Do you know that God made your legs that way and he designed your body to grow itself to get them there? Or do you understand that when you were first put together in your mother's womb, you were the latest original in a series of masterpieces created by the greatest artist to ever live? If you think that that sounds quaint, then respectfully, I'm going to say you need to repent of your disbelief. If you struggle with self-hate, use this psalm to say to God and to yourself that you won't believe the lie that you're worthless or a mistake. You're not even a happy accident. You were an intentional design created by God for your good and his glory. Praise God now for how he's made you, and get specific in your prayer. Now these confessions drive David and should drive us into specific requests of God. David sums up all of this and says to God, God, how precious your thoughts are to me. How vast their sum is. I love this imagery that he uses of God's thoughts being more numerous than the grains of sand on the beach. Pray to God now and ask that he would create in you a heart that desires to know God's thoughts and his ways. Next, verse 19, David contrasts the glory of God with the evil of the wicked. His brutally honest prayer with God, he says, God, if only you would just kill the wicked. And maybe that, you know, makes you uncomfortable. That sounds harsh. Don't worry, okay, because we can't pray this out of some sort of self-righteousness, as we'll soon see, but rather pray that God would shape you to hate the right things, to have disdain for sin, and that God would heal this earth of wickedness and injustice. and then thank him for taking the punishment for wickedness on the cross for us. And finally, verses 23 and 24 say this: "Search me, God, know my heart, test me and know my concerns. See if there is any offensive way in me. Lead me in the everlasting way." The psalm started by confessing, "God, you've searched me," and it ends with him asking, "Search me again." It's popular today to default assume that I am always right, that the problem is ultimately someone out there or them over on that side. But David doesn't make that mistake, and neither should we. No, we Christians, more than anyone, should be well aware that the wickedness that we've just identified in the world is right inside of us too, and that we are often not good at seeing it. Our broken criteria for our own righteousness is much like when we speed on the Beltline. The correct speed to go in the left lane is whatever I'm going, right? Someone's going slower, we think, "Get out of the way, Grandma." And if someone passes us in the right lane, we think, "Where do you have to be, speed racer, right?" So humbly ask God that he would reveal to you, as painful as it may be, in whatever way he needs to, in what ways you are ignorantly in sin right now. Ask him to use his word and your friends around you to show you. Say, "God, search me." Let's pray. God, this psalm is just so beautiful, honestly. And it's funny, like, I start this psalm and I think, like, oh man, yeah, I remember this psalm. This is like a really, you know, feel good psalm. It's just like really, really cool and poetic and beautiful and artistic, like confessing to you how beautiful the world is, how amazing it is, how you've created even just me specifically, let alone every other image bearer on the globe. And then as I leave this psalm, I'm kind of walking out of it with a limp and remembering, like, man, David's awe for you, God, is matched by his conviction too. And God, would you please do the same thing in us, that we would just be mind blown by how incredible you are, how incredible your creation is, and how incredible it is that in all of the cosmos, you know us so well. But then, God, would that please just not be like, you know, either some just romantic, poetic, transcendent, like, oh, that just feels nice. Or don't let it just be like some fact on the page that's completely devoid of feeling or personal consequence, God. But would you please use that awe to drive us, God, to say, God, your ways are higher than our ways. And our sin is so depraved. Cleanse the world of it and cleanse us of it, God. And Jesus, in you, and out of an overflow and gratefulness for your kindness for us, lead us to repentance, God, please. Lead me to repentance, please. And show in me, show in us, any grievous way in us, God. We're not above it. Oh, God. Oh, please, 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 especially, God, as we're going into election season, God, it's already started. Man, the devil so wants all of us to believe this lie that the problem's out there and it's never in me. That I'm right, they're wrong. God, please don't let him have a foothold. Make us so humble at the foot of the cross, God, and help us to constantly go to you and say, please show me anything grievous in me. To constantly go to each other humbly and say, please help me honor God and honor his children better. God, this is a heavy and scary prayer, God. But we know that we're safe in you, God. And so, Jesus, it's in your name that we pray these things. Amen.